in a panic, all hysterical and crying. So we all yelled out, forgive us.
G'day fellow white Aussies and welcome to episode 2 of the Australian Racist News Report. This is a weekly podcast that looks at major Australian news stories from a racial and biblical perspective. I'm Obadiah 118, Commandant of the ChristianIdentityForum.net, and I am your host. Christian identity is like the director's cut of Christianity. It's Christianity with all of the racial intolerance that so-called Judeo-Christianity edits out. True biblical Christianity teaches that only members of the pure white Adamic race can enjoy a personal relationship with God, meaning that only whites can be Christians and only whites can lay claim to being God's children. Contrary to popular stupidity, the Jews are not God's chosen people, they're satanic imposters. If you'd like to learn more about these things, check out the Jews Are the Devil book collection and the Who is Israel book collection in the Christian Identity Primer section of my forum. And you'll find even more books, 1500 and counting, in the Christian Identity Reading Room section. I switched on the Tel Aviv Vision last week to watch the evening news, and lo and behold, the major news story wasn't about war that had broken out in some country, or hundreds dying in a passenger jet crash, or even a good old-fashioned bank robbery. No, the most important news story of that particular day was this.
If Adam Goods is considering retirement, he doesn't want to talk about it. He dined with a former teammate last night. Nothing will break us, Michael O'Loughlin tweeted. But this morning, reports emerged the 35-year-old could quit over the booing saga.
Good's getting some booze.
As a city and state and nation, we would want him to play on.
Contributed to the game enormously, and it'd be tragic if he did walk away from the game for this.
The NRL's Indigenous coach pledged rugby league support.
If they're booing Adam because he's Aboriginal, and that's a sad state of affairs.
The issues led to heated clashes in the media.
Adam Good doesn't need to have a look at himself. People like you do.
I am livid with you. That is disgraceful.
Some commentators believe the problem is Goods himself, not the fans, demanding he apologise to the 13-year-old girl he called out for racism.
They just don't like the fellow. And Adam Goods can fix all this by changing his behaviour.
The Collingwood fan's mother agrees.
He's obviously brought it upon himself, whereas the crowd wouldn't be reacting the way they are.
If or when the former Australian of the Year does return to the field, opposing players and coaches say there's simply no excuse for fans who continue to abuse him.
If it's affecting his life and affecting the way he feels, I think it just needs to stop.
Goods has another maligned Indigenous sports star in his corner.
You might be feeling a pinch, but man, you got so much support. You got so much support.
Mundine wants Aboriginal athletes to show solidarity with their own war cry, like Lewis Jetta's. WA's Premier says,
don't reenact the spear throwing. It's provocative. It's not necessary.
The war of words is not over.
Poor Sookie La La Adam Goods is going to pack it all in because people have been booing him at the footy. For those overseas listeners to this show who don't know Adam Goods from a bag of licorice all sorts, he is a part Aboriginal Australian Football League player who, despite making hundreds of thousands of dollars per year for doing nothing more than kicking a piece of inflated cowhide up and down a football oval, rails constantly about the endemic bigotry of us white Aussies. Goods is an Aboriginal activist and, like most Abbo activists, is part white yet regards himself as an Abbo exclusively. It's as if the white part of his DNA doesn't exist. This phenomenon is seen in racially mixed people all over the world, most notably in American Negroes, or niggers as they like to be called. Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson are part white, but you would never know it by the way they go on and on about how proud they are to be niggers, or as they hyphenate it, African Americans. What this tells us is that while non-white DNA and white DNA may mix, they don't get along, and the non-white DNA will suppress the white DNA. The same applies to any white society that allows non-whites to settle in it. The non-whites will gain more and more power until they suppress and supplant the white host population. Non-whites, even kind, smiling-faced, intelligent non-whites, are like a genetic nuclear winter to our people, which is why God commands us to be separate from all other races. Aussie Rules was invented by whites for whites, but over the years it's welcomed a number of Abbo players into its ranks because of their athletic ability. So a lot of Abbos have found fame and fortune through the AFL, and like Goods, all of them whine incessantly about how we whites have done them wrong, even though they're being paid considerably more money than 99% of the white population. But for all of their didgeridooing about how racist we are and how wonderful and marvellous Abbos are, almost all of them keep company with white women. If these proud black fellas love their race so much, why don't they hook up with Abbo Sheilas and make more Abbos? The reason they don't is that they themselves are racist. When it comes to the sexual act, they would much rather share their DNA with a beautiful white woman than an Abbo woman. Have you ever seen an Abbo woman? Think of a chimpanzee gazing into a funhouse mirror. That's the level of pulchritude we're talking about here. Getting back to Goods, a couple of years ago, a 13-year-old white girl called him an ape during a football game. Goods objected to that fairly accurate description and told on her to MCG security staff, who promptly bundled her off to a room where she was held illegally and interrogated for 2 hours. According to the law, she had to have a parent or a guardian present. The insanity of the situation, the fact that a young white girl or anybody can suffer legal penalties just for calling somebody a name, cannot be overstated. But this is the world we live in, and it's only going to get worse, and we'll gaze into the future shortly to see just how bad it's going to get. Since that incident at the MCG, footy supporters have been booing Goods, who's responded to them a number of times by making a spear-throwing gesture and doing a war dance, which goes to show that you cannot take the Abbo out of the part Abbo. Some commentators have said that the people booing Goods aren't racist, but I disagree. I think what most of them are doing is expressing a normal, genetically hardwired reaction to a non-white bully boy making life difficult for a member of their race. And this has put the leftist media here in a foot-stamping tizzy, because any sign of racial unity among the white population, no matter how small the sign, must be dealt with post-haste, as white racism, if left unchecked, could grow to the point where it poses a serious threat to the government's long-term plans to turn this country into a Chinese outpost. This is from the August 3rd, 2015 edition of the ABC's Media Watch program, and as you would expect from the ABC, it is heavily biased in Good's favour.
But now, let's come back to earth and to the passionate and often angry media debate over the treatment of one of our top sportsmen. 2014 Australian of the Year, Adam Goods. Goods is a football player and black. And until he sought respite this weekend and received widespread support, he was being loudly booed by spectators whenever he touched the ball.
Basically, a majority of the crowd is booing one player. And it's just, to me, absolutely disgraceful. I'm embarrassed to be Australian. It makes me want to cry, to be honest. I've never been involved in anything as racist as this in sport in Australia in the time that I've been reporting it.
Sports commentators like Rebecca Wilson, Jared Waitley, Mark Robinson and Caroline Wilson have all been on Goods' side, as have the front pages of Australia's major papers like the Herald Sun, the Sydney Morning Herald, The Australian and The Age. And every team captain in the game has also pledged support.
Stand with us. AFL captains speak as one on their brother Adam Goods.
So, who has lined up for the opposing team? A smattering of former players like Sam Newman, Carl Langdon and Jason Akamanis have argued that booing is quintessentially Australian. It's not about race and Goods just needs to toughen up. But the real attack on Goods has come from a handful of columnists, like News Corp's Andrew Bolt, Miranda Devine, and Rita Panahi, Fairfax's Paul Sheehan, and 2GB's Alan Jones, who argues, as they all do, that the football star has brought this wave of hatred upon himself.
There are 71 Indigenous players in the AFL. One is being booed. Does Adam Goods ever look into the mirror and ask himself why?
Well, no doubt he does. And no doubt he also asks why Jones, Bolt and the rest are condemning him so loudly. But let's get Alan to tell us why, because he's very keen to do so.
The man is always a victim. Then he became Australian of the Year and tells us that we're all racists. Every time he speaks, Australia's a racist nation. People don't like being told that stuff. They're booing Adam Goods because they don't like him and they don't like his behaviour. They don't like the spear throwing and the running in and doing a war dance and so on and provoking people. They just don't like the fellow. And Adam Goods can fix all this by changing his behaviour.
Yes, all that booing is Adam Goods' fault, they say, and nothing to do with the fact that he's black. So, what has he done to deserve it? Number one crime with Jones, Bolt, Sheehan, Panahi and Devine dates back to 2013, when the Swans played Collingwood at the MCG, and a young girl in the crowd called him an ape. The bearded Goods, as Bolt for some reason keeps calling him, pointed her out. And, minutes later, security led her away.
It came from that incident. People saw that as a massive overreaction and also unfair to a girl, 13, just out of primary school. And even when he knew her age, he went ahead the next day with a press conference and called her the face of Australian racism.
Bolts accused Goods of bullying and publicly humiliating the girl. Paul Sheehan of dobbing her in. Miranda Devine of singling her out for rough treatment. Alan Jones of humiliating her and playing the victim. But is that really true? Yes, Goods singled out the girl, but he also asked the media to give her a break.
Racism has a face last night, and, you know, it was a 13-year-old girl, but it's not her fault. She's 13, she's still so innocent. I don't put any blame on her. The person that needs the most support right now is the little girl.
You heard in that clip how other football players and members of the public have come out in support of Goods. Many people, many of them white, are saying that they will dob in any suspected racist at the footy who boos the professional sook, and may each and every one of them drop down dead. Paul Barry, the host of Media Watch, defended Goods on the grounds that even though he pointed the girl out to security staff, he later told the media to go easy on her. So Goods created the problem in the first place when he should have just ignored the girl, and then he tries to make himself out to be a hero by telling the media that it's really not her fault. Mind you, this is seconds after calling her the face of Australian racism. Then he turns around and says she needs all of the support she can get. Well, she wouldn't need all of the support if he hadn't pointed her out. The guy's arguments are so stupid and illogical that one can't help but reach the conclusion that not only does he look like an ape, but he thinks like an ape. That story took place in 2013, and in 2014 they made the idiot Australian of the Year. And not surprisingly, he used the voice that gave him to let us white Aussies know what racial reprobates we all are. But I bet you anything that when he's climaxing inside his stunning blonde, blue-eyed wife, the last thing on his mind is white racism. In this next clip, Waleed Ali, an Australian-born Muslim of Egyptian parents, who was one of the hosts of that rancid leftist news panel show, The Project, opines on Goods' travails. Keep an ear open for the incredibly racist remark he makes at the end of this clip, which is from the May the 31st, 2015 edition of the ABC's Offsiders program.
And it's not as simple as it being. It's about something else. It's about the fact that Australia is generally a very tolerant society until its minorities demonstrate that they don't know their place. And at that moment, the minute someone in a minority position acts as though they're not a mere supplicant, then we lose our minds. And we say, no, you got to get back in your box here. And that's why Adam Goods ruffles feathers. It's not because he's controversial. It's not because he's a provocateur. It's none of that. It's because he actually says, I'm going to say something and I'm going to express Aboriginality and I'm going to do it at a time and a place in which sort of the vanilla velour frontier, the velour cover of Australian society doesn't cope with it very well.
Ali talks about Australia's vanilla velour, the vanilla frontier, the vanilla cover, being unable to cope with Goods' Aboriginal pride. And you can hear the squirming in his voice because he knows that what he's saying is racist, but because it's racist towards whites, he's really not all that too worried about it. He knows that a giant-sized abbo isn't going to storm up to him and point him out to security staff so they can drag him off to a locked windowless room where they will detain him illegally for hours. Oh, how far this once great and proud white country has fallen that we would let an alien creature like Ali not only be born here, if that wasn't bad enough, but to chide us vanilla frontiersmen for daring to object to somebody flaunting his underachieving ethnicity at us. On a side note, if Ali is a genuine Muslim, what the hell is he doing on a show like The Project, which is all for legalising sodomite relationships, I'll be damned if I'll call it marriage, and is as pro-feminist as Madonna tongue-kissing Jermaine Greer? How does he reconcile stoning sodomites to death and effectively putting bags over the heads of Muslim women with that socialist gig? I guess some Muslims are more Muslim than others. The late Edgar J. Steele, an American lawyer who was jailed for a crime he didn't commit, and who died in prison last year under very suspicious circumstances, predicted in his book Defensive Racism that racism would eventually be made a capital offence. That prediction might seem outlandish right now, but it's where all of this utter hysteria about racism is headed. And to our Jew-controlled governments, there is only one form of racism, white racism. The Jews and our politicians really couldn't care less about Abos. You won't find any of them selling up their multi-million dollar houses so they can go and live in Aboriginal communities. Abos and other non-white races are just weapons they use to beat down us whites, to make us so pathologically scared of that word racist that we'll go to any lengths to avoid being called a racist. Racist is as despised a term now as pedophile. Once pedophilia becomes accepted in society, and it will, just as sodomy has, then racism will be considered the most loathsome of crimes. This is all part of Satan's plan to destroy the white race. As our society grows increasingly darker because of the influx of non-whites, our instinctual response will be to oppose it. This is why we have the phenomenon of white people abusing non-whites on public transport. Being in such close quarters with the alien hordes triggers our God-given racial defence mechanisms. Most white people are able to resist the urge to voice their displeasure in these situations, but some whites, with less restraint, let their racism run free and suffer the legal consequences thereof. Our Jewish overlords know that there will come a day when things have got so bad economically for us, because of huge unemployment rates and crumbling infrastructure caused by the presence of so many non-whites in this country, that even some of the most racially tolerant whites will begin to question multiculturalism. So to nip that in the bud before it happens, the Jews, with the help of politicians and the media, will lead the public to believe that racism is the greatest threat to the peace and stability of the world and must be eliminated at all costs. Naturally, they'll stage several large massacres, with perhaps one involving some form of nuclear weapon, and ensure that the white patriot community cops the blame. The resulting horror and outrage will cause the public to beg them to introduce the death penalty for white racism. In the meantime, we'll see a gradual increase in anti-racist measures. Eventually, you won't be able to work for an employer unless you sign an employment agreement stating that you're opposed to white racism and approve of, quote, gay marriage, unquote. This will be brought in under the pretext that it must be done for insurance purposes, since employers won't be able to insure themselves against lawsuits from non-whites and sexual perverts screaming discrimination. Christians and others who refuse to sign such agreements will have to work off the grid, so to speak. The number of white characters in TV shows and movies will continue to decrease, while the number of non-whites in them will increase, and there will be fewer and fewer white talking heads in news and panel discussion shows. A Current Affair ran a report about a week ago on Chinese students from overseas buying places in some of the country's better schools, and not just universities, which they've been doing for some time now, but high schools and primary schools. So as the Asianisation of Australia continues unabated, most schools in this country will go from white to yellow, and white Australian culture will go with it, and English will become a second language here. But wait, there's more. As racism will be considered the scourge of modern society, the scourge of the world, whites will be encouraged to procreate with non-whites. Initially, they'll be offered financial incentives in the form of tax breaks and job opportunities to do so. These will be extremely tempting because of the wretched state of the economy, but then race mixing will become mandatory. After all, the easiest way to get rid of white racism is to get rid of the white race altogether. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. It's death for us individually and it's death for us nationally. That's why we're watching our country slide further and further down the tubes, and until we address the cause of the slide rather than the effects of the slide, things will only go from bad to worse. Proverbs chapter 14 verse 34 says that righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. We're being overrun by alien races and turned into a kowtowing minority in our own country because we've rejected God. Now, I realise that this isn't something that's going to sit well with a lot of people in the white nationalist movement, such as it is, but I'm here to tell the truth, and the truth changes not. We either repent or we perish. The Bible prophesies that two-thirds of our people will perish. God himself describes us as a stiff-necked and a stubborn people. We're going to keep trying to find our own way out of this disaster we've brought upon ourselves until it dawns on us that there's no way out of it without divine intervention. The old saying, God helps those who help themselves, is not in the Bible because it's not a true saying. God helps those who obey him. He doesn't want us to sit in our dust doing nothing, but any action we take that isn't blessed and sanctioned by him will come to nothing. This is 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria, and behold, they be in Hazazanel-Tamar, which is En-Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared, and set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah in Jerusalem at the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend for ever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If when evil come upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade, when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not, behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, will thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord, with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshipping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army, and to say, Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord sent ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, every one helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. The message of that account is very straightforward. If we seek and praise God first, then we will win the battle. On that positive note, I'll say God bless, and I'll be back next week. Oh, and Goodsy, This one's for you.
In the bad backlands of Australia, many years ago, the Aborigine tribes were meeting, having a big powwow.
We got a lot of trouble, Chief, on account of your son, Mac.
My boy, Mac? Why? What's wrong with him?
Our boomerang won't come back.
Your boomerang won't come back?
My boomerang won't come back. My boomerang won't come back. I've waved the thing all over the place. Practiced till I was black in the face. I'm a big disgrace, the Aborigine race. My boomerang won't come back. I can ride a kangaroo.
Yeah, yeah.
Make kinkajou stew.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm a big disgrace, the Aborigine race. My boomerang won't come back.
The banish him from the tribe then and send him on his way. He had a backless boomerang, so here he could not say.
This is nice, isn't it? Getting banished at my time of life. What a way to spend an evening. Sitting on a rock in the middle of the desert with me boomerang in me hand. I should very likely get bushwhacked. Get out of it, nasty bushwhacking animal. I think I'll make a nice cup of tea. Good gracious. There goes a kangaroo. I must have a practice with me boomerang. Hit him right behind the left elbow. Now then, slowly back.
If you throw that thing at me, I'll jump right on your head.
Isn't it marvellous? Got a land full of kangaroos and I like to pick that one.
For 3 long months he sat there, or maybe it was 4. Then an old man in a kangaroo skin came knocking at his door.
I'm the local witch doctor, son. They call me George Elfie Black. Now tell me, what's your trouble, boy?
My boomerang won't come back.
Your boomerang won't come back?
My boomerang won't come back. My boomerang won't come back. I'll wave the thing all over the place. Practice till I was black in the face. I'm a big disgrace, the Aborigine race. My boomerang won't come back.
Don't worry, boy, I know the trick, and to you I'm gonna show it. If you want your boomerang to come back, well, first you've got to throw it.
Oh, yes. Never thought of that. Daddy will be pleased. Must have a go. Excuse me. Now then, slowly back and throw. Oh, my God. I've hit the flying doctor. Can you do first aid?
Don't talk to me about first aid, boy. You owe me 14 chickens, you know what I mean? Learned you to throw the boomerang, you know. First things first.
Yes, I know that, but I mean, I think on this occasion, you know, you could be a bit more prescriptive.